Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we are your co-hosts. On behalf of us both, thank you so much for listening.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org to donate. We'd love for you to become a part of our family. We're on a mission to help strengthen your mental health and relationships with God and those you love the most. Help us as we work to strengthen, again, families and bring a message of help, hope, and encouragement to today's generations.
Your gift ensures this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's show, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. So let's go ahead and get started.
Joining me today for part two of an amazing conversation is a voice for vision for our time, known for uncovering mystery and biblical prophecy, Rabbi Jonathan Cahn. He's here to talk about his much anticipated new release, The Avatar, a powerful book that explores end time revelation like never before. Jonathan, thank you for joining me today.
Oh, always a joy to be with you. It's a blessing, Tim.
What a day one we had together. Talking about your new book, The Avatar, The Return of the Ancients and the Future of America. I know it's going to be an instant New York Times bestseller, probably the number one book in the world for sure. Jonathan, let's just recap a little bit about what we talked about yesterday and the spirit, the heart behind this book and this manifestation that you're trying to impress on the hearts of people everywhere.
You know, Jesus gave a parable where he said that a man who's delivered of a spirit, if he stays empty, basically the spirit's coming back and is bringing seven others. And the point is that, you know, we take it as a person, but he says, so it will be with this generation. And the ultimate warning is that any nation or civilization like the West that has been delivered of spirits or gods, because the Bible links them together, which is what happened when the gospel came to the West, and this is the culture we're in. If it ever should empty itself of God or the gospel, which was what we've been watching since like the mid-century, last century, what's going to happen is what was cast out of it is going to come back into it. So we're watching, in a sense, a repossession. We've been watching that. We've been watching a repaganization of the West and particularly America. And it was coming to a head. I mean, one of the things in the Avatar, it's opening that up. I mean, and it's really removing the veil. And that's why I believe it's the most explosive book I've written, because it deals with specific things and where the mystery of these gods or spirits actually is affecting our political realm. Listen, you know, the point is this. The spirits are not interested in coexistence. They're interested in domination, that every knee shall bow. And so we were at a point in America, we just were there, where it was taking over virtually every house of government, of culture, this anti-God agenda, which is basically linked to the gods and linked to the spirits, and it was about to basically seal it. And that's where we were just before this last election. And so this is life, ultimately it's life or death. I mean, that's what we're talking about. We're at a critical moment. And that is what happened with Donald Trump. Donald Trump is a vessel. It's not about a man, but we are at this critical moment. And this mystery that we've been talking about not only lies behind the overall, but it lies behind specifics. There are ancient prototypes for each of these leaders, including Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Donald Trump, everything that reveals where we are, of what we've been through and where we're going and what we need to do.
The spirit realm. That's what we were talking about. That's what we are talking about. Light and darkness. There's no doubt people were crying out because there was such a movement away from the things of God. It was terrifying. Seriously, it was horrifying. And systems of government were being weaponized against people of faith and so much more. We're in a moment of, we talked about yesterday, a reprieve. A moment where we need to, the church needs to awaken and take her rightful place for such a time as this. We anchored ourselves in Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you're able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And could it be that behind the central movements and the issues of our time are the entities of ancient origin, these unseen agents behind the transformation of culture, indwelling movements, institutions, nations, agendas, even the people of our times. Jonathan, I want to fast forward now into this second part of our conversation about how this has been manifesting itself in our Western culture, and specifically in America, and people in particular, how this was showing up and is showing up, and what we're up against. Take us into some of the players, if you will, in this agenda.
Yeah, there's so much. And one of them, for instance, Joe Biden. Actually, the prototype there is a king in the Bible called Jehoram in this template that we've spoken about. And Jehoram was a weak king, and what he did, he actually knew the ways of God, but he turned against them. And radically, and that's what happened with Biden as well. Turned against life, turned against with gender, all these things. But also, you know, with Jehoram, at the beginning of his reign, he has a disastrous military withdrawal from the land of Edom, which sets his whole a course of failure. Well, that's exactly what happened with Biden. It wasn't Edom, it was Afghanistan. And it was a disastrous withdrawal. Also, during Jehoram's reign, there was a big problem of people crossing the borders into the land, you know, uncontrolled border crossing, which is also what happened, and there seemed to be nothing to be done about it. Another thing about Jehoram during his reign, the land of Israel is invaded by the Arabians and the Philistines. Well, the Arabians, that means Arab today. And the word, basically the word Palestinian in Arabic is Philistini, means Philistine. You have an invasion of Israel, and in Jehoram's reign, it began in the Gaza Strip. It went to Israel. They took back hostages to the Gaza Strip. This is all there. Also, here's another thing. And there's so much here, but at the latter part of Jehoram's reign, he becomes beset by physical infirmity, physical illness or enfeeblement. So Joe Biden. In the time of the end of the reign of Jehoram, he had one son left. Well, Biden had one son left. With Jehoram, it was his youngest son. Biden was his youngest son. With Jehoram, his name, the son's name was Ahaziah, who didn't follow the Lord. With Biden, his name was, of course, Hunter, didn't follow the Lord. But the thing is, Ahaziah comes from the Hebrew root word ahaz. It means to seize. In Old German, to seize is henten, which is linked to the word hunter. So literally, even the names, I mean, it's like uncanny. And let me just throw this in. You know, it's not just about, you know, we talked about Donald Trump and, you know, and Jehu, the prototype of Jehu. It wasn't just how he rose to the throne. When Jehu came to the kingship, to the throne, what he did was he purged the government, literally purged the house of Ahab. That's exactly what Donald Trump has been doing. He also dismantled the houses of Baal. Well, Donald Trump has been dismantling. Also, basically, listen, the Jehu was told, strike down the house of Ahab. Well, the American house of Ahab is this whole institution that was taking over the culture. Well, Donald Trump has been rolling back, and it's not about Donald Trump. We don't even know where Jehu was at with God, but he was used as a vessel of God. So this is a real war where we are in, and it's real spirit. When, you know, it's ultimately, as you said, it's ultimately spiritual. And when you get the spiritual, you get everything else.
You spent a lot of time taking us back to Jezebel. And her daughter, and you make some connections there. I want to stay with that spirit, if you will. Things got really dark here in the country. I remember us crying out about abortion, and we're talking about some states having birthday abortions right up to the moment of birth, if you will, and even after birth. And it was like horrific. How in the world could this be true in our country, with the majority of Americans wanting some type of restriction on abortion? And you go into Israel and you look at the transgender ideology and the educational systems, Jonathan, where they were no longer educating, they were indoctrinating our kids, and we were in this war, this fight for our children. All this is still on the table. We know that. There's a lot to do. But take us into that and connect the points here, even to Jehu, too.
All these things, I mean, we mentioned it on the first program, but all these things are linked to the gods that actually the Bible speaks about. When a nation turns away from God, these other things come in, and one is the God of child sacrifice. So we're seeing it was going to a whole nother level, as you just said. Where states were shouting abortion, not keep it rare. It became celebrated to birth. That's how radical it was. But also gender mutilation, that is pagan. When you go into the pagan world and the goddess we spoke about is Ashtoreth in the Bible or Ishtar, that's what it was about. It was about merging male and female, and now we're doing it to our children. Listen, the spirits, the principalities are always after the children, because if you get the children, you get the culture, you get everything else. And so here's a culture that once had teachers leading the children in public schools in the Lord's Prayer, now trying to mutilate them to appear as the opposite sex. That's how deep we were. That's how much, and that's how where this goes, Tim, because there's no middle ground in this. Ultimately, this is where it's going one way or the other. And that's where we were, and that's where Israel was. And that, and Jehu was used to roll this back, you know, to go against Baal, to go against all these things. So it's a dramatic thing, but this is all in the Bible. It's in the Bible. You know, we're reliving what Israel went through, and God put it there, I believe, for this moment as well.
Jonathan, I know you do a lot of linkage here. We're going to talk about Kamala Harris and more. You spend a lot of time in that. But at the end of the day, even Jehu, you referenced and connect with Donald Trump. It really isn't about the personalities per se. It's really about what God is doing, that God is at work, and the work of evil is real, and this is light and darkness. This is about the gods versus the gospel, if you will, and so much more. I want to make sure that people are understanding where we're going here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in the end, that's it. I mean, it's either God or the gods. You know, in Hebrew, Tim, the word for God is Elohim, but it also means gods. It can mean you have one or the other. You're either going to have God, Elohim, or you're going to have the gods. There's no middle ground. There has never been any other. Doesn't matter if it's secular. Doesn't matter if it's communist. That's the ultimate thing. And yes, Donald Trump, just like Jehu, it wasn't about the people. They were vessels. And they may not know what they're doing. It doesn't mean they even know exactly all, but they're used. And that's what it's about. It is about God. And the gospel is the only hope.
You found some fascinating correlations around Kamala Harris and more. You mind sharing some of those?
Yeah. In the ancient world, it wasn't just gods. Because when you look back, Tim, when you look back at Egypt, look back at Babylon, look back at all these pagan cultures, they believed that the gods would become manifest through avatars. I mean, avatar is actually from Hinduism, but that people could be possessed by the gods, they could be manifestations of the gods, vessels, living images. So actually, the kings, the pharaohs of Egypt, were seen to be living gods, images of the gods. So the kings of Babylon, the kings of East Asia. And I saw this around when I went into the nations, I saw this phenomenon. So and it makes sense because the spirits, the idea is if you can rule the ruler, you can rule the nation. So we America now has been in a point where we've kind of been letting these things come back in, where we're getting to the point where it was about ruling the nation. And if you can get the people, if you can get the leaders, you've got America. And so now in the Hindu world, the Hindu god world, it is believed that in the house of Brahman, the Brahmins, that lineage, that's where avatars are particularly born, where someone is a vessel of the gods. Well, one of the people born in the house of Brahman was Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris was given the name Kamala. Kamala is the name of a goddess. So she's literally named after a goddess. Her middle name is Devi, which means the goddess. So you've got, her name means Kamala, the goddess. And in the Hindu writings, you actually have them talk about Kamala Devi, Kamala the goddess. And by the way, this is not, again, same way, this is not about people. We got to pray for all people, but people can be used. And so you've got that whole thing. And the amazing thing is that Kamala Harris is going to live her life without knowing it. She's going to be actually living as almost an image in the pattern after this goddess. You know, the goddess Kamala, her origins are by the ocean. She rises by the ocean. Well, Kamala Harris was literally born by the ocean. She rose, San Francisco is when she rose from there. She rises from the ocean. The goddess Kamala becomes a partner or a cohort or the wife of the king of the land or the king of creation in Hinduism, whose name is Vishnu. And so she becomes the number two or the vice god. Okay, so maybe Kamala Harris, you know, was lifted up to become the vice president of America. And the thing is that interesting because you know how Donald Trump always called Joe Biden Sleepy Joe, Sleepy Joe. Well, Vishnu is called the sleeping god, by the way, the sleeping god. So and what happens is that the goddess Kamala then seeks to kind of take it for herself. So that's kind of what happened where we were. Now, the other thing is that there are strange things about the goddess Kamala or about the Hindu. In Hinduism, you've got a concept of a goddess, who is laughing all the time. What was it about Kamala Harris? She was always laughing at the wrong times. And the goddess, the laughing goddess, it was called Devi, which is her middle name, and was the laughing goddess who laughed when she was making war and bringing destruction, she would laugh. And so even that is part of it. But let me go even, if I can, let me go even one step deeper. And that is, Tim, when I'm seeing this part I'm going to tell you now, I didn't even see to the end. And that is this. There's a day on the Hindu calendar which is the holiday which celebrates the goddess Kamala. And people take the idols of the goddess and bring them into their homes. Well, Kamala Harris was born in 1964. She was born on October 20th. That was the day called Sharad Purnima, which is the day of the goddess Kamala. So she was born on the day, Kamala was born on the day of Kamala. Not only that, but there's the night called, which in the Hindu world is called Kujagara Puja, which is celebrates the goddess entering the world at night under the full moon. Entering the world, they open their houses to welcome her. Well, Kamala Harris was born at night under the full moon on Kujagara Puja, the day of the entrance. So Kamala entered the world on the day when the goddess Kamala enters the world. And let me give you one more. I mean, it's mind-boggling. And it's not about her. She doesn't know this. But the thing is that there's a day where they actually celebrate her birth, the birth of the goddess. They actually tell the story how she was born by the ocean, and they tell the whole story. The birthday of the goddess. Kamala Harris was born on the day of the birth of Kamala the goddess. So as people, the actual birthday, she was born, and all over the world, people were chanting the name of Kamala as Kamala was born into the world.
Jonathan, I'm just amazed. I'm sitting here thinking, enter then again, Jehu. Enter the rest of the story, where a kind of a wild man, a madman, just goes 100 miles an hour. Since January 20th, it's absolutely been wild. What we've been witnessing, it's breathtaking. Take us again back into that play. What was he warring against? The world watched in horror, by the way, during the Biden-Harris administration of the attempts to imprison for life former President Trump. Now President Trump. They witnessed the assassination attempts and so much more. What was at play?
Yeah, everything was at play. You know, and this is exactly it. Jehu, and it's interesting what you said. You said, you know, it was like furious, this wild ride, this fat. Well, that's when you read commentaries on Jehu, it says he was furious, it was wild, breathtaking. I mean, the speed, he was just going all over. Well, that's exactly it. You know, there was so much against Donald Trump. I mean, there was something like 90 felony counts. I mean, who has that? Where, you know, the whole culture was against him. Well, Jehu was a fighter. You know, and two assassination attempts. You know, Jehu stands up, you know, our American Jehu stands up and he says, fight, fight, fight. Well, he's a fighter. What was at stake was that? Jehu drove out Baal, it says, from Israel. So Jehu was actually battling not just the culture, he was battling the gods, and that's why there's so much against Donald Trump. Let me tell you, you know, we're talking about the mystery of Kamala Harris. The mystery, here's a deeper mystery of Donald Trump, which goes with this. When Jehu was first proclaimed as king, before he even rose to the throne, they did it with trumpets. Now think about it, we have a guy named Trump, okay? The trumpet. The trumpet is actually, listen, the trumpet, and we you know, when we spoke yesterday, well, the other program, we spoke about the trumpet, which actually goes against the spirits or the gods, you know? So here we got a guy named Trumpet. You know, it's a trumpet, it was about the power of God, that, you know, it was about, you know, it's jarring, it's loud, people don't like the sound of it, but it's against the gods. Well, listen, Donald Trump, Tim, was born, as Kamala Harris was born on a pagan holiday, Donald Trump was born on a Friday, which is a Jewish, a biblical holiday, which ushers in the Sabbath, okay? And so all around the world, when Kamala Harris was born, they're chanting Kamala. When all around the world, when Donald Trump was born, they're worshiping God. There's on every Sabbath, there's an appointed scripture appointed from ages past for that particular day. So what was the scripture? You know what the scripture was? That Donald Trump's Sabbath ushered in? The scripture was God calling to bring forth a vessel into the world, not a god, not an avatar, a vessel, a trumpet. It's literally about the bringing of the trumpet into the world. And so now here, now Tim, I mean, think about this, okay? At this election, and kind of really, really pulling away the veil, you got Jehu, you got, you know, the Kamala, but you have two vessels, you know, because a trumpet is a vessel, an avatar is a vessel. And so you had a guy named Trump, trumpet, and you had a woman named Goddess. That's what you had. I mean, and you had a nation, you know, America, which is formed to be one nation under God. If she had wanted, it would be one nation under the goddess, literally. That's what's revealing where we're at. But when the trumpet sounds, remember that thing that when I told you when I was in India, what I saw, when the trumpet sounds, the goddess or the spirits have to flee. So Trump won, and the gods are being pushed back. And that is what we are witnessing.
People are crying out, Jesus is Lord. God is moving. Look everywhere on social media. You're going to hear stories about the winds of revival are happening. Jonathan, we need to pray that the church again would awaken and take her rightful place for such a time as this. God, let that be true. Jonathan, I know a lot of people are saying, wow, this is wild. It is. It's absolutely stunning. The Avatar is hitting bookshelves everywhere. It's all over the internet. The Return of the Ancients and the Future of America by Jonathan Cahn. An instant New York Times bestseller. I'm just telling you. Jonathan, if people want to learn more about you, get the book, etc., what do we need to do?
Yeah, the book, Avatar, is going to be literally everywhere. If you go online right now, you'll see it. Or, you know, everywhere you get books. It's going to be at Walmart, everywhere. Get it for people in your life, too, who need it. So that's there. The ministry I lead is called Hope of the World. So if they go to Hope of the World online, hopeoftheworld.org, we'll get sent free gifts, and it's to get the gospel out. And, of course, you know, John Lee Cahn, YouTube, is there as well. So I'm all over. I don't even know where I am.
Jonathan, what a delight. At the end of the day, this is about redemption versus judgment. And I love how you end the book. It's just this. This is about God. And God alone is God. And that's who we serve. That's who we celebrate. That's what we, in Jesus' name, look to, the author and finisher of our faith. Jonathan, what a delight to have you. Thank you so much for joining me. Can't wait to get you back. Can't wait to hug on your neck sometime soon. What a joy. Jonathan, on behalf of my son, Zach, our entire team here at Life, Love, Faith, and Family, Brian McNulty, our entire gang, we salute you, praying God's protection, power for such a time as this. Thank you again for joining me.
Thank you, Tim. It's a joy.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Hey, everybody, this is Dr. Zach Clinton, licensed counselor from the American Association of Christian Counselors, with your Mental Health Minute. A kind word might make someone's day, or it might save someone's life. You see, words are like seeds. Some destroy, and some heal. I once heard a story about a student on the verge of dropping out until a teacher simply said, "I believe in you." That single sentence shifted the trajectory of that student's life. Neuroscience shows that verbal affirmation releases dopamine, which boosts focus, resilience, and even physical health. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25 says, "Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up." Encouragement is not fluff, it's fuel. It lifts, restores, and empowers. So your call to action, choose one person today. And don't just say something nice. Say something specific and life-giving. Because when you do, you'll begin to speak to their soul and not just their surface.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.